at 63.
I bet you'll be around, and I bet you'll still be hot.
Well, you're a dying, death-defying love for me. Hello, welcome to the big show. You need to be here if you want to know what that was all about. You should have come to the live bit, shouldn't you? No, you haven't. We're here to discuss the week in tech, all the big tech stories that have gone on throughout the week. There's loads out there, like the FCC saying we should use the FM band transmitters on cell phones more. That's forward thinking for you. joining me to discuss other such incredible topics, Alistair Dabbs from The Register. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. You've had a busy week,
Well, bit of this, bit of that, bit of, well, bit of this again.
Bit of this? Oh, two lots of this.
Yes. Can't go into any great detail, but I have a few features up my sleeve, but they're not published yet.
So. Oh, right, okay. Jolly good. Did the column going well today?
I think so.
Good.
I think someone's read it. Well, someone certainly commented on it.
So. All right, okay. Good, good, good.
I haven't taken it down yet.
Next to him is the late Jeff Gamet. Not dead, just late.
Not dead, just late. And Ewan, you are looking mighty fine.
Well, your lighting's stunning, I have to say.
Oh, God, it's
lovely. It's natural sunlight today.
It is a natural. It is. It's very good. Has he got snow there or not?
No, there's no snow, and the temperature is, oh, wow, almost 70 Fahrenheit.
That means nothing.
It means that it is unseasonably hot here.
Yeah, we've had sort of like 12, 13 degrees today. I've played golf this morning with my cousin, and I caught the sun. So
look at that. Mm.
I think I've screwed up the saturation a little bit maybe on the video because we don't have high production values here apparently. Next to him, it's Camps. How the devil are you, man?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
All right, mate. Have you recovered from last week?
Yeah, what were we doing last week?
You had Seth on the show.
Oh, we had Seth on the show, yeah. No, that was the week before. We missed last week, didn't we?
Oh, last week was a blur. There we go.
Last week was a blur. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, he made his BTN debut. He's eager to get back on soon.
You and me.
Absolutely.
Okay. Everyone else had bailed. A good week?
Yeah, really, really busy week. I've had 3 days off. It was within half term up in Leeds, so we had 3 family days out. And then I've had 2 days to cram a week's worth of working back in the office.
So the kids are all back next week?
Yeah, in Leeds are all back next week, but other areas are not too far in Yorkshire. They're all off, so it was quite good. We've been out for a few days out, and places weren't as busy as we expected them to be.
And you've had a phone call with a mutual moron that we both know.
Maybe.
next to him, it's Big Chris Ashley. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing wonderful. What it do, fellas?
Where you been, man?
Where you been?
I've been here. I've been asking.
Yeah. I ain't seen nothing.
Oh, okay.
I've been here chilling, watching the clock, looking at the phone, looking at my text messages. I was like, man, love.
It's just a case of a moron doing the bookings rather than anyone else. Right. But
I'll go with that. I'm good, man. Chilling. Show's doing well. Family's doing well. Start the year off rough. Ain't going to end the year rough.
Happy with the Redskins this year or not?
I'm okay with the production. You know, when I look at my team, I just look for better than last year. A little bit better than last year. So if they give me that, I'm good.
Which means you should win 1 year then, but you never do.
No, because then we regress. And that's the story of our lives.
Okay. But at least you get good cookout and ribs.
Oh, my God. I've stepped my rib game up and my brisket game to another level. It's on another level now.
You got to come to a game, mate, because that's just mouth-watering.
You come out here, I got you.
I'm in. And last but by no means least, he's in the studio. He missed the Max show. I hope you got a note.
Yeah, got a note from Birmingham Museums.
Oh, yeah, that'll do. They sent you to a crap meeting about somewhere else, and you can't say it's crap because you...
Oh, I was interested, and I had a little look around another Tudor house.
All right.
I had a good time, met a load of people, all volunteering. Good. So, good day.
Excellent, mate. You missed a fine curry.
I know. Yeah. I had fish and chips.
Oh, dear. The Week in Tech. Who's going to start us off then? Molly, you've thrown the first story in. Facebook said that they're going to make algorithms that will identify terrorists.
Yep. It's 2 years out yet, but Mr. Zuckerberg wants to invade our privacy even more.
Here's what we're going to do.
In a letter, he said he wants to do these algorithms that will spot violence, terrorism, bullying, and prevent suicide. Not had a good track record on that, have they, with their spotting violence online? And we did have a conversation before the show starts where I've complained about certain posts and never got anywhere. But I think it's quite a interesting article. It's all about all the fake news stuff as well. I think this same letter includes Germany's complaint that Facebook are also printing and letting fake news stay on their site and not taking them down. So it looks like this might be a response to complaints from the EU, amongst others, about fake news and bullying and terrorism.
Is it not just talking crap while the subject is crap because of a certain person we're not going to mention?
I think it's EU personally. I think Merkel's obviously on about taking steps, and I presume that the security services were probably already doing it anyway. So he's just going to be duplicating stuff. In fact, I don't know why he doesn't write to GCHQ and ask for the algorithms they use.
I can't see this working because, I mean, what do you look for? Do terrorists on Facebook mention the package and stuff like that now?
I don't know. I mean, it possibly will be keywords, I'd imagine.
Yeah, part of the article I read on this was around recruitment. So they're trying to use AI and algorithms to identify essentially terrorist recruitment techniques. And things like that, where Facebook apparently is quite widely used.
Right.
And the big problem for me is when, you know, everything that starts out with good intentions, people find a way to take it the other level. You know, we already have enough issues going on here with people that are discriminated against. And now we're just going to, you know, I don't trust AI yet to be able to definitively say that this person is a terrorist and this person is not me. So I'm definitely a little leery and keep out for this, because what's next after terrorists? Let's identify a criminal. Let's identify a drug dealer. You know, let's identify this, you know, and with a program, you know, so.
And then let's start targeting people before they've actually committed a crime.
Pre-crime.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll start the precog division.
But I think this sort of thing goes on anyway already, doesn't it? I mean, I can't see anything new.
Not on this scale.
Good answer.
I was just thinking, you said this is 2 years away. This could just be bollocks, couldn't it?
I think I'm kind of skirting around that subject a little bit, yeah.
You make an announcement and everyone reports it. It's brilliant. You can open his mouth and say anything. Like, oh, yeah, Facebook's going to do this. Facebook. Mm. And then 2 years from now, we'll all have forgotten. They'll have said something else. We're going to have flying cars. yeah. But it's 2 years away.
Yeah, I think this is responding to the keywords of certain people. And also coming out with something that says, here's what we're going to do, when, you know, you can write 5,000 words, you can write 500,000 words. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, well, it's also, this is a company that says it does targeted ads. I mean, blimey, have you seen the ads that pop up in you?
maybe they're targeting what you've already purchased off Amazon.
Nothing there.
Move along. how are you going to refute that then, Muller? Are you saying?
Well, I can't really, because as Alistair says, it's in the future. But I can't believe that algorithm doesn't already exist, because I'm sure that the security services already use something that picks out. They haven't got time to read everyone's emails and everyone's Facebook posts, so they must be using something to highlight them, then bring them to the fore for a human to read. And that's all they're going to do. Well, at the end of the day, they're going to have somebody that's going to say there's a possibility we need to have a look at this one and read it. Because yeah. I don't think yet they can trust an AI, as you said, or Chris Ashley, I think, said, can trust an AI to make the decision on its own. You're going to have a human involved somewhere. So it's, all it's going to do is highlight it to a human.
Oh, it's filtration, yeah.
Yeah, and then the human makes the decision.
If it works. It's filtration.
Just a simple, yeah, if it works. Just a simple grep search that says, you know, kill the infidel.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, if you report, I've reported posts in the past where I felt that they incited criminal activity, and Facebook have refused my complaints. When they were, one of them was about Lee Rigby, where there was a person online actually trying to actively encourage people in prisons to kill them, to kill the two terrorists, which we can also we can have a lot of sympathy for, but it's still inciting violence. And Facebook said I was wrong, and I don't think I was, because I'm sure it's a criminal offence to incite violence.
Batway Watch wants to know if we can put something inappropriate in the green screen behind you, not realising it's actually the reflection in the microwave door.
So, you could probably still do it, though, you know.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Oh, that's funny.
Sorry, can I just ask, because I said earlier on, kill the infidel, have we just been entered into this algorithm?
Oh, mate, we're expecting GCH to give you the door. Yeah.
I'm on the show.
Twice.
Probably talking about the subject alone has done that anyway.
No, absolutely. Facebook when I read that, the first thing I thought was, yeah, righto. Because everything that's out there to find terrorists, I mean, probably the greater part of that is them going, oh, Christ, we might be able to be found out soon enough. But I don't believe that counter-terrorism is good enough to scare terrorists anymore. It's, you know, it's like the taking the shoes off at the scanner. It's just there to make you feel less human. It doesn't actually do anything.
I would call that security theater.
Yeah. Theater.
Yeah. I would much rather them focus on the fake news spreading.
Yeah.
Because I go on my Facebook page and I see some of the most ridiculous things. I'm like, see, told you so, and then a link, and it's just some bootleg website. I'd much rather them focus on that and just automatically deleting that type of stuff or addressing it. That to me, at this point in time, is a bit more important, because you know, not to say we shouldn't, you know, be diligent and make sure we're on the watch for any type of terrorist attacks. But oftentimes these terrorist attacks get narrowed down too much to, you know, people that are of Muslim descent, and they always ignore, you know, the church bombings and the shootings at the abortion clinics. And, you know, those are never called terrorist attacks, even though they are. And so, you know, and until, you know, we get more comfortable identifying all of these things as terrorist attacks, let's just focus on the spreading of fake news that are proliferating.
Or these better terrorist still, attacks in the first what about place. The 2,000 people that have been shot in America since January 1st?
That would be a good thing to focus on.
Yeah, you see that?
And it would be good to focus on how many of the attacks in the United States right now are being conducted by white Christian males.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The probability of terrorist attack is less than the probability of being struck by lightning, which is 1 in 14 million.
Yeah, and that, you know, and but when we continually spread on Facebook that, oh, you got to watch out for this danger because this person, and you know, and we have alternative facts, you know.
dear Mark Zuckerberg, please could you write a weather program that would specify where lightning strikes are more likely than others? Because it would be more useful than your frigging terrorist program.
And then we could deport those locations.
So that's the big thing I hate when you have companies talking about what their efforts are, because, you know, as I stated earlier, you know, they narrow this thing to something that's, like you just mentioned, is not likely to happen.
It won't work, though, Chris. I've worked it out. It just can't happen, because what they'll do is they'll show you a map of where you were last week based on their targeted ads. Chris, you want to carry? We're going to do a dog pile, I think, on Facebook tonight. Chris, go ahead, mate. Your story: the personal Facebook live video could actually be shown on television, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, so yeah, it's Facebook, but I suppose this equally can apply to your Snapchats, to Periscope, all of those. So there's a gentleman in America, Kali Kanangata, I don't know if I pronounced that right. And what this gent did was filmed his partner's labour last year, but apparently didn't realise that he was actually filming and posting that straight onto Facebook Live.
Oh, you know he's in the spare room, don't you?
but to make it worse, he didn't realise for 30 minutes. When he did eventually realise, he carried on filming anyway. And then obviously it's out there then.
He's in the coal shed.
Yeah, Good Morning America have picked this one up and beamed it live across the US. To which case he's taken offence. He's raised a copyright infringement case and the judge has totally thrown that one out. It's a bit of a discussion point in terms of putting your information out on the internet and then wondering why you've got no recourse when it gets used. But equally, a bit of a public service announcement in terms of if you don't want these things out on the internet, don't put them out on the internet.
So what was the presumably then, if you go on Facebook Live, are they copyright seizing? Because a lot of those, they do leave copyright with you for the original video. They just have a right to show it.
Yeah, from what I can see and from the articles that I did a bit of research around in terms of this one, it looks like once you put it out there, no, you've given your copyright up, is how I'm interpreting the story. So, yes, but I'm assuming then for the other platforms like Snapchat, like Periscope, it's exactly the same thing. What you're doing is you're putting your content out up onto the internet, and part of the challenge was around legal and fair use. So the media outlets broadcasting the clips are defended doing so on the terms of fair use. Legally, fair use means that when pictures or videos are the focus of a major news story, selected footage can be used, is how it's reported.
Not in Britain.
No. Go on, Alistair.
I just say, in Britain, you have to pay for it. You can't just say, oh, it's fair use. I'll nick that. No, it doesn't work that
way
here.
There is no fair use in the UK.
In the States, I don't know.
No.
Right, so that's really interesting. So I wonder if I'm using Facebook in the UK, could that be picked up and used in the US?
Yep. Yeah, no question of that.
Fair use is in the United States is a lot more lax.
Well, Alistair's right. There is no fair use in the UK, but there is reportage, which is if you find something and you want to use it for the purposes of reporting, you're not claiming it to be your own. You're just saying, I found this and this is the current state of affairs. Reportage is a much looser ideology, if you like, with copyright. But it's got to be newsworthy. That's going to be the argument, whether it's an infringement of privacy or not.
So there's an interesting point just on the bottom of that story. It linked to it. And it says, so how do we deal with the first murder on Facebook Live? So this is when, obviously, somebody has somebody in there, film it live on Facebook Live. Does that mean that the media outlets can use that footage because it's a major news story and publish it live on Good Morning America or others?
Well, they wouldn't because of taste and decency and stuff, but they could put exit. I mean, you look at the Bataclan Theatre and the lorry in Nice and that kind of stuff. A lot of that footage went out.
Yeah.
But doesn't stuff on YouTube end up on TV a lot?
Yep.
So it's not...
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, I've watched several shows that have used stuff I've seen on YouTube loads of times. It's not much different, is
it? There's a lot of places... I mean, it's interesting. You know, I did the 30-year-old Mac story last week. And we got asked... The Mirror came and approached me and said, do you mind if we use your video? They asked nicely to use the video, even though it was posted as a public video. And I don't have a problem with that. And even the Daily Fail, who are one of you, have asked nicely. If they used it, and it's clearly for promotion, would I upset? No, I wouldn't be upset, because it's just about promoting BTN and what happened that day. So the copyright...
That is cool that they asked.
Yeah, no, it is. It's cool that they asked. But, I mean, the copyright infringement is only an infringement when you take an action or ask them to desist. So, you know, if they do it and they get away with it, then, and you will do it and get away with it on an awful lot of circumstances. So, I think it's bad that he's asked for it to be taken down and they haven't. But, I mean, you know, if he was publishing it to a public channel on Facebook and then doesn't like the fact that it got out there, well, you should have read the license agreement, mate.
Before exactly. And I think that's more, I think that's more the case here, that I think possibly what he was doing is chasing some sort of compensation for how the likes of Good Morning America, ABC, Yahoo, and another company have all used a video clip in their publications.
Blue dress, white dress as well, though, isn't it? Because they're looking for compensation and they've told to get stuff because you signed away the rights because you stuck it on Instagram.
Absolutely. Yep,
there you go.
So, tough.
Mm.
Sorry, what if this this video podcast also ends up on American television? Do we get a cut?
Nope.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Mostly because I can't be arsed to fight for it. I mean, no one watches this shit anyway. Who'd pay to watch it? Christ.
not with the production values.
This is the thing. I mean, this. So on the photo show the other week, I said, you've got to watch out because anything you put online, it's gone. And everyone says to me, why haven't you got a portfolio in Flickr? Because I don't want to, because what I have belongs to customers and me, and I don't want it to be gone. I've got some images on my website that I'm quite happy if someone nicks them and throws them around. Well, okay, fair enough. If you're claiming that you're own, you might get a letter off me or a bit of a kicking. But, you know, once it's online, it's gone. And there was the issue with Tyra Banks has become obsessed with whether supermodels should or shouldn't have freckles or could or couldn't have freckles. So she posted some examples of supermodel images where the model had freckles, and she thought that they were extremely attractive with the freckles. And the photographers that took them were up in arms because she's utilising their image without copyright consent, and she's seizing copyright, and she's an absolute catastrophic, horrific woman. And I'm kind of like, she clipped it and she used it in an Instagram post. She didn't make any money off it. She just had a conversation about whether you're better with freckles or without, and she found some examples on Google Images. What's the problem? Grow up.
That's what people and do.
She shouldn't be held to a higher standard than us.
Dude, the problem is that people forget to look at intent, you know, and I think I wish we would look at intent more and take that, put that as a priority as to how we should respond.
Yeah, but it goes back to your comment earlier, Chris, because intent then becomes the something that you hide behind. Tyra just says, oh, I never intended. And everyone has to go, oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, like you just said, she didn't make any money. But if she's making money, then you're like, come on. You had to know you were going to make money off of these images. You know, I think you can intelligently determine, you know, whether a news corporation taking a clip of somebody who accidentally live streamed the birth of his baby and he sued and he lost because of the fair use, right? So,
but he should have lost.
But they're not trying to hurt him in what they were doing. They were just reporting it as news. Like, hey, look, you know, somebody's, you know, people are taking this Facebook Live and, you know, and streaming. And the most, so they're making a news story out of it.
He's suing more out of embarrassment.
Yeah, he's suing to pay for the handbag that he's having to buy the wife in apology.
He might have got a settlement out of a couple of folks. I think Microsoft was dropped off the lawsuit, but it's just kind of the same thing. I don't know, man. I'm just looking at this Facebook Live, and I thought it was a really cool thing, but there's been a lot of people committing suicide on Facebook Live, and, you know, people look at the DJ in, I think it was Brazil, who was doing his radio show on Facebook Live, and the gunman walked in there and killed him.
Yeah, oh, well, there you go. There's the first murder on Facebook Live, then. We've got it.
No, it's been a plenty of them. What are you talking
question
about?
Question answered.
Yeah.
There's been a ton of them, you know. And so it's just, I don't know, man. I'm starting to look at this Facebook Live like, yeah, I don't think I want to use this at all. It doesn't seem like it's good luck.
No. Yeah, Facebook Live seems like begging for disaster.
The curse of Facebook Live.
Mm.
In a world.
Facebook Live exists.
Don't have it. Don't have it. Don't use it. That's a good.
Public service announcement. Don't use it. And certainly don't put your stuff out there unless you want it to be used.
Yeah, I mean, if you put it online, it's gone. That's my maxim. Yeah? If it's out there, it's gone. That's it. That's all there is to it. We put ours out there. If you want to copy this and post it somewhere else, that's fine. Don't be surprised when no one watches it, however.
But hey, what a great way to fill up your online storage but not have to worry about bandwidth caps.
Yeah.
Because if no one's going to watch it.
Yeah. Be nice if you left the logo on. Do that, though. Who's next? Who's got a story? Who thinks they can answer?
Okay, I can go next.
Go on,
because
Big Chris.
Yahoo's in the news yet again for another security breach. And
third one, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, they responded to the article that was written by BGR, and they said that the breach happened. It's not new. It happened a year ago, but they're pretty much just now letting people know about it.
So these aren't...
Oh, nice.
So it's
how big is this closet?
Yahoo. I love this, right? So, sorry, we had a breach 3 years ago, and everything goes quiet then, and then 6 months later, we had a breach, but it was 2 years ago. And it all goes quiet again, and then they go, we've had a third breach, and everyone goes, oh, come on, but it was a year ago. It's all right. We've solved it. You're like...
I look at Verizon, and if I didn't dislike Verizon so much as a company, I'd just be like, I'd feel bad for them. You mean, because they already negotiated for a $250 million discount on their purchase, which I don't think is enough. But
no,
you know, now this one's coming out too. And then if they find out about any more, they'll probably be on the hook for it, right? So, and apparently this particular breach revolved around cookies. Where people could fake a cookie and then end up logging into somebody's account just without even the use of a password.
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Yeah. So they said this wasn't as big as the other breaches.
But that's all right, then.
And so I make my public service announcement yet again. If you are the tech person in your circle, man, make sure your folks ain't using Yahoo for anything.
How can they negotiate a sale of Yahoo and then negotiate the price down by 250 million quid, when Yahoo's not worth anything, surely? Unless it's got a pile of patents we don't know about.
4 billion, I think, is the...
My 4.5. Ass.
Wow. Well, maybe they're including the value of the buildings and office supplies that Yahoo has.
I'm not saying there was a problem, but they've got 4 billion in pencils.
Yeah, that's one massive pile of staples. They'll
throw MySpace in for free.
Do they own that?
No.
Who owns MySpace?
Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, I thought it was Murdoch. I think someone still owns MySpace.
Is MySpace still even functioning?
If only there was something that we could look it up on.
It's Tumblr. Is it Tumblr and Flickr?
Holy crap, MySpace is actually there with content on it.
Time owns it. Time Inc. owns it. Bloody hell.
Because Murdoch owns that.
And oh my god, we have a new top story for the week. Star Wars Cantina Band song is named Australia's favorite sex jam.
What?
Right on the front page of MySpace.
Who shanks to that?
It is quite short.
Well, I guess it could help you keep your rhythm.
And somewhat repetitive.
Somewhat repetitive.
Yeah.
And it just starts again over and over.
You know, and I guess for a lot of people, they don't even need to get to the bridge in the song. And they're satisfied. So, wow. But there you go. Star Wars Cantina Band. Australia's favorite sex jam.
What? That's on MySpace right now.
It's on MySpace right now. I'm going to take a screenshot.
How current is that? I mean, it's the future right there.
I'm just looking. All I can see that Yahoo owned that's worth anything is Flickr and Tumblr, and I'd argue how much they're worth.
I don't know, 250, 300 quid? Maybe, for the pencils?
Yeah.
That can't be worth anything. Tom Hiddleston reveals he urinated on his night manager co-star.
Quality content, my
ritual. And Seth Rogen is tweeting someone's son to persuade his dad to resign.
That was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, MySpace is still a thing. I might get an account.
MySpace is still a thing. You can date hot Latin beauties online. There's a link for it right there on the homepage.
Piers Morgan threatens to take his write his son out of his will because his son sided with J.K. Rowling in the Twitter spat. That's pretty cool. Oh, mate. So there you go. No one can say you're not informed on this show. You've learnt about Facebook, you've learnt about how much Yahoo isn't worth, and you've learnt that you can still use your MySpace account. How good's that?
And we just increase their worth by about 10% by driving traffic.
We've probably doubled their monthly traffic. Both of our listeners are going over there.
Yeah, I think Staples are about to get a contract to advertise on them. get your pencils in.
I don't know. Everyone was talking about Marissa having great ideas and Mishra being great for Yahoo. And actually, I think she's driven it. She's crashed the saucer into the saucer section into the planet.
Well, I don't think there's anything she could do. I mean, was there? Other than try and just keep it ticking over, I suppose.
All this was on her watch, though, mate.
Yeah, I think for her it was more like they already knew the saucer section had come free and was plummeting into the atmosphere, and someone said, "Hey, Marissa, can you just kind of keep the tip of the saucer up so we don't like nosedive completely as we crash?"
Yeah, but didn't she do some stuff when she got in there that really pissed a lot of the employees off? Didn't she like force people to stop working from home and come back into the office and all that stuff too?
Exactly.
Yep.
Productivity went through the floor at that point, I'm sure. I'm sorry, mate. Everyone wants to make excuses for Marissa Meyer, but I think she fudged it right up. She had a chance and she blew it. And all the feminists are going to write. They're going to write to Campion first about the handbag comment earlier. and then they're going to write to me about the Marissa Meyer thing. Actually, one of the best videos I've seen in the last 2 weeks was a Sky interview where a woman who was a feminist was ranting at a bloke who she wouldn't listen to, and he was trying to get back but couldn't get a word in edgeways. So the woman who was mediating said, "Right, last word goes to Tom," or whoever it was on the right. And he said, "Well, this reminds me of the old adage, sticks and stones might break my bones, but there isn't a word a feminist won't get upset about."
Oh, she went up the wall. and
the thing is, the woman then just goes vertical. It's like she's pounded on the mic, on the camera. Laughing. He's laughing, and they say, "Right, okay, we're going to cut there and go over to so and so on the weather desk."
Oh my god,
it was brilliant. It was hilarious. She's about to explode.
That's totally unfair.
Give the last word to someone else. Oh, God. That's not going to go well, is it? Who's next?
Can I get mine out of the way? Let me just post it back.
Is it that bad?
Second time.
Go on.
Yes. It's not much of a story, and it's not much of a latest news either, but I just really love this idea of Nokia trying to bring its phones back. And all those lovely phones that everyone said they love using, I want to make them all use them again.
Yeah, the 3310, I've got one of those.
Man, I put my 3310 back together so many times. That thing, it hit the ground and pop apart like a bag of Lego bricks.
Yes, and work just fine thereafter.
What I will say is,
it looked like hell after a couple of weeks.
There was a time when we all had Nokia, and everyone wanted the next one. Indeed, I did exactly that. And I sold all the old ones over eBay. And I was amazed how they'd retained their value on each occasion.
But Chris, shut the up, will you? Oh, he's getting his... hang on. Chris has got his 233...
They're the 6210 eyes.
62... Oh, eyes. Wow.
Two 6210 eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think these haven't been switched on for about 10 years, but they're still powered.
Go on, shove them on.
So we'll try.
You could joke about this, though, but I'd buy one of those for my missus. She doesn't use smartphones.
Perfectly adequate.
Actually, no. No, they're not powering on. I know they both work.
Clearly faulty.
Lithium.
These would see you through some sort of nuclear warning.
Well, if they haven't powered up for 10 years, they probably just need a recharge.
Yeah.
So what are you advocating here, Alistair?
What am I advocating? I'm just wondering if, obviously, as you've just hinted, the big thing really was the battery life could be measured in weeks, and people would be shocked by this. But all these people who have been bending my ear over the past few years saying, I wish their phones were like they used to be, made out of dried mud and straw. And then actually give them these old phones back and see how long they can put up with them. Because I don't think they'll last.
I had, back when she was put in the chat room, I would love my E72 again. And I had the E71, and the E71 was a brilliant phone.
E72 was good.
I loved it.
What was the first phone that did video editing? That was a cracking one.
N95.
Was it?
Did live broadcast to the web, and it did minor video editing as well. Yeah. I mean, everyone slags it off and says it was a crap phone, but it wasn't. It was a real groundbreaker. It was.
I never had one, but someone showed it to me, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
It's the N95, that was the with the slide screen up on it and the keyboard underneath.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I had the N95, the black one, and I had the N73 before that. I thought they were both fantastic phones.
The N95 laid out a lot of the stuff for that Apple followed with the iPhone.
So. 72 had GPS built in, which I found out by accident when I put TomTom Maps on, and they worked. Because you needed the TomTom Maps, you couldn't use anyone else's. But my missus would use that phone, and I've got a friend I used to work with, and he's only got phones like that. There's not everybody uses smartphones.
Yeah, no, I mean, that one that you've got there, was it E63 or something? The T63 or whatever it camps. They would last like 10 days on charge.
Yeah, 63 10i, yeah. Yeah, they did literally go for a week, 10 days.
I had the WAP phone, the one that slid open that was in the Matrix. And, you know, you could press
the button, banana phone.
Came out, and that was that used to last for ages.
But there are places where you can't have a phone with a camera. These haven't got a camera, so you could use it at work.
Yeah, we've got areas where I work, and you have to leave your phone at the door.
Where?
But I bet with this, you wouldn't have to.
It's like one of those westerns, isn't it? You know, leave your gun at the door. You put on that face, kind of go...
Do you know what? So here's the thought then. Alistair suggested that we all go to our favourite old phone. So it might be the Sony Ericsson T61. I love that one as well.
That was a good phone.
That was a great phone. How many people could go back to that phone and think they'd manage more than a week? Alistair? Or what's your favourite Nokia was?
I don't think anybody will. It's a bit like saying, oh, yeah, look, stupid electric car, you know, okay, get back in your Morris Minor and survive in that for a while. Oh, you can't start it because it's cold. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. See, I don't, the big use for my phone is Twitter, Slack and email. And outside of that, I don't use it for a great deal more. And so if there was any way of accessing the Slack system on there, then I could probably get away with it. And if there was any way of accessing Twitter, then I could probably get away with it. And certainly email, I was very happy with email. I used to type like the wind on that keyboard on the E71. Go on, Jeff. Do you can manage a week?
No.
Okay.
That was good. I broke my iPhone screen a couple days ago and had to go 4 hours with my phone. Holy shit.
Four whole hours.
Did you go to a bar to run those 4 hours down quickly?
I did have a drink, yeah.
And then left his wallet behind.
Just to get you through.
Yeah, just to take the edge off. It was a rough 4 hours.
Was it a strip bar nearby or something like that, you know? Get a roll of dollars and off you go.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of apps installed on my phone, but the apps that I do have installed, I use pretty heavily. You know, and I'm not even talking about just email, you know, my Destiny app so I can transfer guns between my characters. That's important to me. WhatsApp, I'm on all the time from a messaging standpoint. I'm not, I couldn't go back.
So, go on, Camps, you do finish off this round. Could you do it?
Yeah, it's all data that I use. It's I use podcasts, Apple Music, Twitter, Slack. So no, I couldn't do it.
And Muller,
I couldn't, but I know people who could.
Yeah. See, I mean, how many people have gone out with their phone without their phone and not realised it till it was too late to go back for it, and they've had to spend half a day or the whole day without their phone? Because I have.
Here's the question: How far do you have to go before it becomes too late?
That's okay.
A good question.
I've gone to work.
I work here, and I live 10 doors that way, down the street. And I've left my phone here and gone back down there. I've left it here on charge, and I've walked in at 5 o'clock down there, and I've sat and thought to myself, I can't be arsed. And I haven't come back and got it. And I've sat there without my phone quite happily and then come back and picked it up the next morning.
Yeah, it's got iPads over there, though. And
I wasn't that bothered. It was just like, okay.
No way. I live a mile from the highway, and I've left my house, hit the highway, realized I didn't have my phone, got off the very next exit, turned around and came back. No way.
I would have turned around too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even got off the street. Literally, because, like I say, music podcasts, straight into the car, it connects to the stereo. Again, if it don't connect, it's because of my phone, it's not in my pocket. Straight in back in the house to pick it up.
Now, mine could be in the house and still connect to the car.
I reckon I could do it. I could certainly do a day, and I think I could possibly manage a week without not worrying.
You could play Snake all the time, couldn't you?
I was thinking exactly that. I forgot about Snake. Yeah. That's more than I play anyway. Batwench says her 1020 survived 5 hours in a deep freeze, but that's a smartphone. You can't have that. It doesn't count. And Pitchfork, he had the 7110 as well.
Yeah.
I had the Sony Ericsson one. That was nice. I can't remember what it's called. 9 something i. That was a good phone.
I don't know. Sony Ericsson did the T-Series, didn't they? I had the T61, so...
I had a communicator as well, that was good.
Nokia E-Communicator. They did Nokia Communicator, was that one? That was the one that flipped up. It was like it was really thick, wasn't it, the communicator? And you slid it up and it had the keyboard on the bottom, yeah. That was good. Jeffrey, what's your story, mate?
My story is all about flying drones. So... Dubai has a plan as early as next year to start using drones as taxis. So it's a drone that you can put a person in, so it's just one person, and then it flies you across town wherever you need to go and lets you off. And I'm thinking that this sounds so amazingly awesome. And dangerous. I have no desire to get in one.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on? Oh, what the freaking video decides it wants to play all by itself, and then it restarts itself all by itself. Just because I scroll. That's a crap.
That sucks.
Autoplay videos. Jesus. God.
Autoplay video. That's a giant fail right there.
Forget your algorithm for terrorists. Stop the autoplay videos, Zuckerberg, you twat.
Seriously.
I think it's cool. If I could see it happening anywhere, it's definitely in Dubai. But I'm with you. There's no way I'd be getting one of these.
Yeah, I won't even get in a hot air balloon. My wife's been trying to talk me into it for 9 years. And I said, why would both of us get into that death trap at the same time?
I agree. There's no way. Right.
So I'm not doing that. I'm definitely not doing no drone.
Well... So hang on. So the first thing is to say, is this a concept or is this a real thing?
This is a real thing.
Lo and behold, there it is. It's a real thing. And lo and behold, that's a real thing really flying with a person in it.
Yeah. Up to 220 pounds in weight. The person, I think it said.
Well, that's little stuff then.
Their trial runs they've been doing have worked out really well. And I mean, it sounds like this is a very well thought out design and program. So it's probably stunningly safe. And yet I look at that and I do not want to ride in that thing. I think it comes down to having absolutely no control whatsoever, which I know is completely irrational, because I'll get on an airplane that I have no control over and fly, 30,000 feet in the air.
I could see a problem. It runs on 4G mobile internet. What if the cell towers go down?
Oh, man.
or
oh, there's got to be a return to home,
or too many, or too many people.
Run it off your 3210, no problem.
Yeah, you it's can, raining drone.
You can charge it on lightning.
It's raining drone.
Anyway,
excuse me, I've just watched this video and it doesn't work. I mean, you've got an empty drone that lifted 3 inches off the ground, and that's the only piece of video. The rest of it is just and bits of propeller.
Well, I'll amend my statement. If that thing was like 5 feet off the ground, maybe even 10 feet, where I could survive the fall, then I'd be in. Because then you could like fly above the traffic.
But then then you'd behead all the pedestrians, which in the Far East may be acceptable, but not in downtown Washington.
You don't walk.
We call that a YP. That's a your problem.
I think there's another algorithm just picked up what you said.
Yeah. Let's
behead everyone in
beheadings. Yes.
Yeah, that's a YP. As long as I can get where I'm going with, the minimal amount of traffic jams, we can deal with the consequences.
I don't think this will get off the ground with I weigh more.
Oh, Muller.
I weigh more than 220 pounds.
So yeah, but there's a lot of those things. So, like the zip line thing, that zip line in Wales, where you can do like a kilometre zip line. I'm like, I've got to try that. And it's like 15 stone limit. And it's like, oh, the hell's 15 stone?
Everyone bar us.
Yeah, I mean, my son's 13, and he's going to be over 15 stone he'll be 6 foot and 15 or 16 stone before he leaves school. And it's just like, oh, make something for. I don't fit this world. There you go. That's the problem.
Especially Wales.
He wants to fly over Wales. It's a battle zone. I get a medal for flying over.
I know
over
where you can get
zone.
Some drones to ride over.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. Flying through the Welsh valleys in a car that's flying with 8 propellers on it.
Mm, no. The RAF do it, though, don't they?
No, they don't do it in a car that's got 8 propellers on it, mate. They do it in jets.
Yeah.
So
we've got to do that again this year.
We're definitely going to do that. We need to do the... Do Longmind, and we need to do the MacWest. Mm. That was well worthwhile. Mm.
We'll get a telescope for the American flyers.
Well worthwhile. Jeffrey, I think you're getting a thumbs down on your flying car.
I'm not going to climb in it either. Even knowing they've had over 100 successful manned flights with this thing, I am not ready to climb into one.
No.
They're going about it the right way, though. Successful manned flights is a good phrase to hear.
Yes. Yeah.
You gotta say.
It's probably really, really safe. I'm just not comfortable with this.
No.
Not until batteries get more
Chris put a story in early on about a flying car possibly being a reality in 2017, and that's another one that's just never gonna tick off. Excuse the pun.
I just put it in there because it was mentioned earlier. About the mythical flying car, but this one looks pretty cool. And it was on, Forbes was reporting that they're looking to release this thing this year for about 400,000. So it just was like, let me throw that in there.
And another autoplay video. Right, anyone is banned from picking a story that's got an autoplay video on it. Are we clear?
If you've got a flying car, though, would you need a pilot's license?
If you've got manual controls, yeah. And it'd be subject to airworthiness for CAA and regulations and maintenance logs after every flight and that kind of stuff. And I think that's what's going to kill
none of us about
avionics and stuff for the domestic user is that they won't be able to keep the aviation logs that are required.
You know, people that live around me, they can't hardly keep on the road with a car. I do not want them having a car that can travel in 3 dimensions and then come through my living room window.
Drunk flying.
Yeah, no. The other thing that you get as well in the UK is you get these massive cones at the end of airports where you're not allowed to fly anything over 50 feet, I think, off the ground. So it's, and it pops up on the radar. If you've got a drone, it will pop up on the radar over 50 feet and you will have the police around. So that's another reason for them not being done.
I would definitely have one of those flying cars if it folded up into my briefcase when I arrived at work.
Yeah.
You know, like with the Jetsons?
Yeah.
I'd have one of them.
The Brompton flying car.
Yeah.
I hear that's on the drawing board.
Yeah, I love that.
This podcast and all the others he's brought... Has anyone not done the story?
No, everybody's good.
That's well, yeah, I think, run through that fair. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. Please support them because they've just renewed the domains. We're going to do a podcast with them. So they'll do a few how-tos and things like that, how to set stuff up, how to get domains sorted out, how to get a virtual server or a dedicated server, co-location services. We're going to do a podcast with them where there'll be some tech people available and you can answer some questions and ask questions of the team that are there, which would be really, really cool. And we're tied in with UK2 now for a long time because they've just renewed the domains for British Tech. So we will be there as long as they do. So please support them. And also, don't forget, Uniku is nearly here. The Hoya lenses. These are Hoya printed frames that are uniquely manufactured for your face. You go and get your face 3D scanned, and then these things are manufactured exactly for your face. They don't fit anyone else's head and face and ears or anything. It's just you. And it's a 3D printing system, but that really doesn't do it justice the way that it's made. And they are gorgeous. I cannot wait. 1st of April, the machine starts, and I'm going to get me face scanned. But if you don't want those and you think, well, I like the light stuff like you're wearing, Ewan, then you can get the fantastic Avantech lenses as well. Just like I wear and Muller wears, and Chris, you wearing them as well, aren't you? You've got Hoya lenses.
Yeah, I've got Hoya lenses. I've not got the Avantechs. I've got the Lux lenses in my frames.
But they were made for your old frames, weren't they?
They were made for my old frames, yeah, and what a difference between the Hoya glass and the, I'm going to say, the cheap optician glass. So massive difference.
There's tons you can do, but the thing to remember is when you want stuff from Hoya, if you walk into your local opticians and say, oh, excuse me, do Hoya lenses, and they go, no, you go, okay, I'm awfully sorry about that, and you walk away. That's a great wheeze. Keep that up. Keep that going. But if they do say yes and you want some lenses from them, still get in touch with podcast@hoya.co.uk and Mark and the team will make sure you get the red carpet treatment from the whole production viewpoint, and they'll give you loads and loads of information as well, because you guys are going out there and you are going to be the salesman and women for Hoya, because they want you to have a good experience. Most definitely. We've had quite a few people who've written and said, I just thought I'd let you know I bought the Hoya glasses at the weekend. Like, did you contact Mark? Well, no, I didn't think so. I just went in and they did lenses. And he went, no, you've got to call Mark. You've got to get the whole experience. So make sure you do that. And the Fantasy Photo League is up and running if you want to join us. It's dead simple. We set an assignment every month and you take a picture and submit it, and if we feel that you've artistically done well enough, you get scored points from two judges, myself and Hannah Cousins, and you also run the risk of getting votes from your fellow competitors, because everyone gets 3 votes every month to give to an image that's not theirs. And at the end of the year, we will total it all up, and whoever has the highest score in the league table, straight win, will get a DSLR, plain and simple.
Nice.
And you're thinking, well, hang on a second, I've missed January and February's nearly over. It doesn't matter, because the more people we get in the competition, that means the more votes there are available, which means there could be like 1,000 points available at the end of the year. So missing out on the first few months needn't be an impediment to your progress. So get in there. You shoot a few images that get a few votes from people, you'll be right up there with all the rest of the people that are in the thing. It's a really great fun time. This month's image is self, but it's not selfie. So anyone who sends in a selfie, I'm afraid you're in for a bit of a kicking off the judges. It's self, but you can't take a picture of yourself because it's a completely anonymous competition. So you can't do yourself and you can't do your family or anything like that. So you've got to get creative. That's the idea. Get the brain matter churning over. Join us in. Just send us an email at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and we'll get you sorted. Right, time for the cool thing. Mr. Dabs, what do you have for us?
It'll be this one. I think I mentioned last time I was on about how I took part in an IEEE event where we unveiled a bronze plaque.
That was good.
That was commemorating the invention of, or the first public demonstration of television, which was on Fifth Street in Soho in London. Now, I mentioned at the time that a couple of years ago we did one at Abbey Road Studios for Alan Dower Blumlein, who invented stereo in the 1930s. And would you believe it, they've given the man a Grammy.
Oh, right, cool.
He got a technical Grammy the other weekend, and his son went to pick it up, which is pretty brilliant.
That is good.
So I thought that was pretty cool for, you know, someone who died a very, very long time ago. I mean, he died during the Second World War.
Well, recognition of the contribution is always valid. So, yeah.
Yeah, got there in the end.
Excellent. Well done. I like that one. That's good. Mm. Good pick. Jeffrey.
All right. Here's a link to my pick. And here is my pick. So I have this this keyboard. It's a Bluetooth keyboard from Matthias. And it's, to me, this is the keyboard Apple should have made for their computers, because, you know, it's a full keyboard with the number pad, and the button or the keys feel really nice to me, which is saying a lot, because keyboards with the chiclet style keys I typically don't like, but I like how this one feels. It has four pairing buttons, so if you have a computer, a smartphone, a tablet, and something else that you want to use this with, you can. You just pair it and then tap the button for whichever device it is that you want to use at the time. And the battery in this thing, once it's charged, they say runs for a year before you have to recharge it.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, of course.
It works with Mac, Windows, iOS, and Android. And you can get it in silver, space gray, and rose gold. There might be a fourth color.
I was going to say girly pink, but it is rose gold. It's the iPhone colors plus the existing keyboard color.
Yeah.
And it comes with a number pad as well. I got to say, I was using a number pad the other day on an old keyboard, and it made me realize how much I really did like having the number pad available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I'm working at my desk, I'm always using a keyboard with a number pad on it. Yeah. I can't imagine not doing that.
Yeah.
And I feel a little hobbled when I'm out and about using the keyboard that's built into my laptop because it doesn't have a number pad.
Number pad is extremely useful when you're using computer-aided design, says Batwinch. Okay. Yeah,
Barney. It's too good to be true, this thing. How much is it? Oh, right.
$99.
$99.
Yeah, So with the exchange rate, that's about £32,000 now, isn't it?
That's correct, yes. There we go. I've still got my Logitech K, whatever it is, K760, and I love that. I mean, that's solar, and I've never, ever had a problem with it running out of charge in 3 years of owning it. So.
Yeah, I've got one for my Windows computer, solar one.
It works. It works really well, but that looks good. I like that. I like the gold version. That's quite nice.
And that's a nice looking keyboard.
It is.
85 quid.
How good is it? I mean, have you used the brand new MacBook Pro?
Yes, I have one of the brand new MacBook Pros.
And how does the keyboard compare to that? Because I really like the keyboard on the brand new MacBook Pro.
Yeah,
I really like the keyboard on the new MacBook Pro. I think this feels a little nicer. Mm. Yeah, cool. I was very pleasantly surprised with this keyboard.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like it. It looks really good. Really, really good. Chris, what's your cool thing?
So every time I come on here and I make a pick, I end up costing somebody a couple $100. So
yeah,
I'm going to take it easy this time around and pick an app. And my wife introduced me to a pretty cool app called WordBrain. So if you're into like word game apps, this one is pretty cool. And it's kind of a puzzle where you essentially start out with four letters, and then you start, it grows into, I think it's 12, and then it goes into 16. And you essentially have to find the words that are inside of this puzzle. But when you find the words, you have to be able to spell the word out by dragging your finger from one letter to the next letter to the next letter, and then drag your finger out. Now, the problem is that sometimes you may find a word that's inside of this puzzle, but you do the word too soon, and so it blocks you from being able to do the other two words or the other three words that are in there. So you kind of, not only do you have to find the words in the puzzle, but then you have to kind of do them in an order where you can finish the entire puzzle. So it's pretty cool. It's got tons of levels. They got different versions of the app where they have different themes, but man, when I'm wasting time, you know, doing a word game, I have a lot of fun playing this one because it's pretty challenging. So, pretty cool app called WordBrain, and I posted the links for both Android and iPhone.
Excellent, mate. It's boggly, kind of, isn't it? And it's just, it's, yeah, it's sad you can't make the word word brain from the logo. But, yeah, no, is it free? Is there any in-app purchasing or anything? Or
They try to get you to buy stuff, but I just ignore it. Yeah. It's free.
Just play it anyway. It's really good. Excellent, mate. Good pick. Chris Camps, what have you got for us?
Right, there's the link in the chat room. The Luna Exploration. This is the European Space Agency page. So my daughter's half-term topic, little project, was on space. So I started to have a little look online, see if I could find something easy for her to watch, rather than me just feed a load of information and get her to write it down. What could she watch? What could she learn? Now, so I stumbled on this app, and I thought initially, this is great. Off she can do. She can have a little watch some of these. I've got to be honest, it's pretty much a little bit too high level for a five-year-old, but I realised that after about an hour and a half of waiting, of watching it and saying, yeah, I'll be with you in a minute, love, don't worry, I'll be with you in a minute. And I got properly caught up in it. It's just full of videos, it's full of written content around sort of history of the sun, formation of the solar system, propulsion, all of the Apollo missions. It's got so much information on there. Like I said, I probably spent a couple of hours on there. I've not really scratched the surface in terms of how much is on there. There's loads of images. It's a really, really good site, to be totally honest. So if you've probably, like I say, a little bit much for a five-year-old, but certainly for an adult or for maybe a high school kid who's wanting information about space, wanting to learn about space and the moon, this is a great site to have a little wander through.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. Very good.
That's really cool.
You can get lost for a few hours and it be warned.
Well, you look at all these people that look out into the deep void looking for stuff around the galaxy and that kind of stuff. And I've got a Skywatcher 200 telescope with a lot of attachments for it. And I spend all of my time looking at the moon. I'm quite happy just constantly looking at the moon. I never see two nights where I look at the same thing and think I'm bored. Not once. I love it. Excellent job. So I might have a look at that. That'd be brilliant. Muller, I take it you've picked this USB charger thing?
Yeah. My Anker one.
Anker USB thing.
Well, this one's not the Anker one. It's my Anker one stopped working.
Oh, iSmart. There we go. Rav power.
Yeah. One by one, each of the USB things stopped working. It was my iPad Pro. Was overtaxing it. So I bought this one because it's higher rated, and I have to say, really pleased with it. And unlike the Anker one's smooth. This one, you can plop it down on a surface, and it'll stay there because it's got like a sticky kind of rubber on one side of it. So you can literally put it down and leave it there, and it doesn't move. So the weight of the cables and that doesn't drag it off the cupboard, and it seems to charge my stuff very fast, including my iPhone with the power pack on, which the Anker stopped. I had to charge them separately, but this quite happily charges them both together.
Excellent, mate.
And it's half price at the moment.
Which is?
$17.99.
Very good. Like that. Excellent. Good pick. My cool thing is the Inatec USB 3 hard drive docking station. It does 2.5 and 3.5 inch hard disk drives. I've got a load of drives around the office that... you know when you put them in a drawer, because it's easier to put them in a drawer, especially when you moved up from your old place, and they just sit there, and I thought, right, this week I'm going to get that out, and I'm going to absolutely hammer it and find out what it is that I've got, what I haven't got, what the spare drives are, and I've got enough drives to actually make a new Synology raid off them, just by going and checking out what I've got and realising stuff that was done and dusted. It's very, very simple to use. It's USB 3. You plug it in. There's no software. There's no drivers. There's no nothing. And switch it on. Stiff your driver in the top. Your driver in the top. And away you go. You just read what's on there. It just pops up in your left-hand finder bar and you're away. $22.99 for the whole thing. And it's really, really, really well made. I quite enjoy it. It's... there we go. It's... there you go. Dead easy.
You and I'd second the Inatec stuff. I've got a couple of their 2.5-inch SSD caddies, and they're not expensive at all. £12, £13, work really, really well.
Yep, good stuff. I bought that about a year ago, and it was like one of those jobs, and I've been tidying up around the office this week, and I found it, and I'm like, right, don't go and something else. Don't say, oh, I'll do this later. Go and set it up now. Go through all the drives now. And I spent about half a day just going through old drives and found a picture of Ellis on the moon. There we go. That was one of the ones. Link to it. Thank you, Muller. There it is. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Dabs?
As ever, at the Register. So my column comes out on Friday morning, so you've already missed it.
So no, we can still read it. It hasn't disappeared, has it?
Well, I don't know.
All right, maybe. There's been a takedown notice there. Already.
Better go and have a look.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com with a bunch of other awesome writers and on a bunch of podcasts in addition to the big show, like Mac Observer's Daily Observations, the iOS show, Apple Context Machine, and then I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm easy to find.
Thank you very much as well for picking up the Mac SE story and shoving it out on Mac Observer, mate. It's very kind.
The only disappointment is that you couldn't film in the Apple Store.
Yeah.
But what an awesome story.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. I've got a new drive on the way. And I got an interesting question this week from one of the YouTubers. He said, so what was the difference between the prototype and the production version? And I went back to Mark Sisson, and he said, no, the real thing was the drive, because the prototypes had the 20-megabyte hard drive in, the Sony one that was constantly sticking. But when they actually launched, they didn't put a hard drive in at all. It was just dual floppies, and it wasn't until the next version came out, the upgrade came out, that they put in the Quantum 40-gigabyte drives, megabyte drives. So that was the difference, is mine's got a drive in it that is knackered.
but you found a replacement drive for it.
Yeah, I tell you what you could do if you still want to help out. I want a version of Photoshop 1. Now the source code's been given away to a historical museum and they've made it available to everyone. So I can get my hands on the source code, that's not an issue. What I can't get on is a version that'll go on onto Mac. So if any of your readers can get me a copy of Photoshop version 1 that'll still work on single density discs, then I would be very, very grateful.
I am now on the hunt.
Thank you, mate. That would be great. Because that would be cool to have a little Photoshop machine that's just, you know, that does 8-bit.
That would be awesome.
So what sort of image can you fit in a floppy disk to get it on that machine now?
It's probably the stuff like, you know, the... it probably is 8-bit, maybe.
It's about 750K, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not even a JPEG.
No, of course, because the drive that you'd have to put it in would be only...
Single disk.
Yeah, single
disk.
Half,
yeah. 1.44.
1.44 meg.
No,
half of that.
750.
Ah, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that shipped with the 800K disks.
So, yeah, and quite yeah. How you could manipulate that. I mean, that might just fall over completely. I mean, little buff of blue smoke coming at the top of my Mac SE. Chris, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can always. Oh, just two Chris.
Oh, it was Camps. Sorry, man. I should have called you Camps rather than Chris.
No, go on, Chris.
Oh, go on then, Chris. Where are you, pal?
You can always catch me at the SMR Podcast, smrpodcast.com. I'm on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. Hanging out, you know, our podcast is a pretty fun podcast, much like this one. Three dummies talking tech.
What are you saying, like?
Which three?
Which three? Yeah, that's the point. There's six of us.
Well.
Yeah, but see, we can count at least.
I said. Yeah, well, it's a good time. Come on, hang out and come check us out.
Will do, mate. Camps, where are you, pal?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter, hanging around in the Slack room, and every week here on the Big Show. Oh, and writing reviews at britishtechnetwork.com/reviews. Please go on there, have a read, and give some feedback.
Oh, Alistair's put a link to an image in of the original Photoshop tools. That's awesome. Look at that. Oh man,
how you do, Colette?
Some of those tools must be 20 pixels across.
How could you do colour on it? You'd only be able to do black and white.
It shows you the power of iconography, doesn't it? Because if you look at the left-hand side, a lot of those icons for tools are the same, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
never changed.
The power of consistency and iconography right there. Brilliant. Yeah. Isn't that paint, says Batwinch. Wash your mouth out, woman.
Oh, and they put window on it. I get sued for that now.
Disgraceful. I'm sorry about that, Alice, you said the word paint. Where are you, Muller?
I can be found at Muller Biker on Twitter. Twitter. got YouTube if you want to. But it's mostly motorbike videos. And thanks, Batwench. I'm the chocolate voice, am I? Is it me?
No, Chris has his chocolate voice.
Okay. So what am I then?
He's got a voice like... That flows like chocolate, I think is what she's saying.
You. Chocolate.
He's the Barry White of BTN.
You'll never find.
See, there you go.
Did it just get hot in here?
That's me anyway.
Turning up the temperature.
Moving on swiftly before Batwinch slips off the chair. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be here next Friday with the live shows, 4 p.m. for the Mac show.
Alistair
what?
You haven't done Alistair.
He started us off. Did he? Where can you get Alistair? He said he wrote his column every Friday at the Register.
Oh, sorry.
You've missed it for today.
Mustn't
do it twice.
You can see that he pays great attention, can't you?
Yeah, Infidels.
I can edit, don't worry. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back in next Friday with the live shows. Muller won't be on them, though. And we'll be here the week after as well. Amazing. Low production values abound. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Peace.
I can't believe someone last week gave us a comment about... Because we lost the audio during the Mac show in the studio. We lost the feedback loop. So we were scurrying around trying to do it, not realising that they're still talking and everyone can hear what we're saying. And I can't separate it out afterwards. It's done. That's the end of it. So the guy gives us a review, slagging us off for poor production values. And they've got Campion in looking for his phones. It's like...
Campion's, I'd put click mute and I missed the button.
Campion's knocking together a quick scaffold. And but the thing is, I can't go back on the Mac show next week and go, "You're a cock."
This is Big Show. It's expected on Big.
We always do it because we do always do it. Clearly, I've just not been listening. Whoever that was, I'm sorry. We do have low production values.
I'm sorry too. I brought tonight down. I spoiled it.